Friends, I'm turning tonight to the book of Joshua and to chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And tonight, our title is God's protection over his people, especially in our journey in this wilderness, our journey to heaven. That is what is stated in Joshua chapter 1 here. We will be looking at from verses 1 to 9 and take a few lessons from them. If we go back to just one book, Deuteronomy chapter 34, let's just send there quickly and see what happened there. Deuteronomy chapter 34. That's the last verse of Deuteronomy. And he said, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and all the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judea unto the utmost sea. So here we are looking at the last time, the last days of Moses, the servant of God, when he took him to that high place, to the mountain of Pisgah, where he looked down to see the place that God had promised to give them, Canaan, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Now we can imagine how Moses was weary and worn out from years of leadership. Remember how he led them from Egypt, from they are released from slavery, right from there through the wilderness and all that they have been through up to this stage. Now, this is where Moses died. He did not enter. He saw the promised land, but he did not enter with them. And all the people of Israel wept over him for so many days, about 30 days. And the tribute that they paid to him is so honorable. For 30 days, they mourned for their leader, especially looking back to how, like I said, he brought them from Egypt all the way to this place. But we thank the Lord that this did not end there. The death did not bring about the end of their journey to Canaan. And the Bible said, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses. In the same Deuteronomy chapter 34 that we just read, if you go to verse 10, it says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. This is the man that God saw face to face. And he's saying that there had never arisen any prophet like him before. And like I said, gladly, the story does not end there. God, his relationship with his people did not end with the death of Moses. So Joshua chapter 1, as we just read, now pick up the drama from that place, from where Moses left. Now Joshua picked it from there and how he moved the people of Israel to the promised land. So Joshua basically is about a book of possessions. Possessions of the land of plenty and blessing. So the people of Israel were moving to possess this land, as like I said, we read from Exodus all the way there. Now, possession of the land had also a condition. That is what we saw. The people, they soon found out that they could only possess the land when they walk in obedience with God, when they obey all what God will tell them to do. That is the condition for them to be able to possess that land. God has promised, it's a covenant, and we know God's covenant will never be broken, but we have a part to play. We have to also obey His command in order for the promise to be fulfilled. So they have to walk to God's direction and have to depend on His strength. And it is the same with us in our walk today. All the promises that were given to the people of Israel, we are the spiritual Israel now. So we also have the same promises, the same covenant with us, but we also have to walk with God. We have to obey Him. And all His commands that He gives us, we have to follow them. It's a clear picture of our walk with God today. So just as Israel moved from the bondage of Egypt, remember I've just told you how we all know that the story of how they were released from slavery in Egypt. In the same way, we were also released from sin slavery, as we have been teaching our Sunday school children for the last period. We are also released from the slavery to sin and dwell to a land that God has promised us. So in the same way, as they had Moses as their leader and eventually Joshua, we also have Christ as our leader. So God faithfully provided the people of Israel to work on their behalf, just as we also have in our life today Christ to also lead us, and then to also find encouragement in our faith. So now back to Deuteronomy. The people of Israel, you remember, they spent 40 days in the wilderness because of unbelief. Because they did not believe God, God wanted to wipe away all the first generation and then continue with the new generation. For 40 years they were wandering in this desert of Sinai, and that generation had to be wiped out for God to use a new generation. We'll come back to the whole story later. So this is where now the Israelite people they come and Moab. God was now preparing His people to enter the good and flowing, the land flowing with milk and honey. Now here God renewed the covenant. Like I said, God's covenant would never be broken. He renewed the covenant which He made with the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. That we read in the Deuteronomy. And all that remained was for Israel was to cross the Jordan River and then defeat the people of Jericho and then possess the land. But in all the circumstances, as we have just read, Moses knew that his time was up. He knew God had told him that his time was up. So then he gathered the people and pronounced his final blessing on the people as he was going to leave them, and was going to leave them with his successor in the person of Joshua to continue the journey with them. So Moses died there, and we learn he was buried by God Himself on the mountain. And now Israel, humanly speaking, they face a dilemma. Their leader for over 40 years, all their hopes were in him, and now the man was gone. What will happen to them now? Who will intercede for the people before God? We all saw how on their way they sinned against God, and Moses will go before God and pray, and their sins are forgiven them. Now, who is going to do all those things? Well, as humans, we always get worried over something, but God knows what He is doing. So, who will lead them to cross the land? Secondly, where? And we know this land, they were surrounded by people, especially the Canaanites. They were so dread that they fear, how would they be able to conquer the people and possess their land. Later on, we read about how prosperous the land was before they went there. So how would they cross to that line, and how would they conquer them? What will become of the covenant promises that the Lord had given? All these were questions that they were asking, the people were asking in themselves. How would that happen? And we know God's covenant is a covenant, but how would that happen? Covenant that he had made 40 years before, how was it going to happen? How would the Israelites be able to conquer the city so fortified, Jericho? We know about the soil of Jericho, how the walls were fortified. How were they going to defeat and break all these things down for them to be able to inherit the land? And despite all these things, they had to also go, because it was a covenant that God had made with them. Let us also not forget that there was one thing that the people of Israel did, and which we also do in our day. It came to a point that they had forgotten about what all God had done for them in the past. All the miracles that happened in Egypt, the 10 plagues, and the crossing of the Red Sea, all those things they had forgotten. And then embraced and influenced by the paganism and the false religion that were all around them. The same way as we are seeing in our times here. We have the same struggles, because we live with people who are also not so religious, people who don't even fear God, and we are tempted to also copy the same kind of life. So they had the same problem as the journey there. So we are going to look at three things from this account. First, we will look at the historical situation of the people of Joshua's time. And then we are also going to look at Joshua, the man himself, because this whole thing that we are talking about centers, he is a key figure throughout this book. And then finally we will turn to our text this evening and then see the lessons that we can learn from the verses therein. So why am I talking about the historical setting of Israel as they prepare into the land, the promised land? Because I just want to begin by casting our minds back at Exodus. As I already said, let's cast our mind back. What happened there? How did God take them out of King Pharaoh, the famous King Pharaoh, and how he had brought them? And like I said in the morning, God had to pass them through a place where he will be able to display or exhibit his power over every situation. So he made them pass through a place where they will go and meet the Red Sea instead of another direction. And all these were there to teach them a lesson. Because first he said, if they should go and meet the Philistines and they try to fight them, they will get back to Egypt. So he had to pass through another place where he knew that there was going to be a problem. They were going to cross the Red Sea, they were going to cross the River Jordan, they were going to take control of Jericho. And so many scholars have said that these people, they went there at a time when the culture of the Canaanites were flourishing. Because according to them, the merchants were prospering. They had so much money, because business between Africa and Asia passes right through their land. So they were very rich. That's why it's always called the land of milk and honey. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12, said, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build. See, they were already rich, who did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees, and so all these things were there already. So it was a very rich place, and God was going to give them. So this, how to realize this promise, is the main theme of this book that we are going to digest now. First, we had the Egyptians to the south, who were certainly no friend of Israel. We all know the problem between Israel and Egypt. Now we have the Babylonians to the east, the Mesopotamian Empire, as they used to call them. And then there are the Hittites. They are very, very great people. They were the superpower at that time. So they had all these things, these people to fight. before they could take over their land. Next, let's look at Joshua himself, the key figure in this account. This name Joshua, according to theologians, means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. That is the name, and then it is the Greek form of Jesus Christ. According to Numbers chapter 13, verse 15, Joshua was originally named Hoshea, but was given a new name by Moses, probably as a sign of his dedication to God. So this is the man we are talking about, this Joshua. Now, the first time that Joshua is mentioned in Exodus account after the Israelites left Egypt is in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. Let's turn there quickly. Exodus chapter 17, from verse 8 to 13. Exodus chapter 17 and from verse 8. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one and the other side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people to the edge of the sword. I hope we all know about this story. When they had to go and fight the Amalekites, such a strong army. So what they did is that Moses and two people had to go on top, and it's like to pray to God. When he said he held his hands pointing to God, like they prayed to God to help them in the battle. And so long as Moses' hand was up, they were winning. When his hand came down, they would be losing. Which tells you lessons on prayer. The more you pray, the more you succeed in things that you do, especially with regards to God. So now, this is where we hear about Joshua. And here, many army generals at that time had to also copy from Joshua, because he became very famous for this battle. And this battle, as I said, that as long as Moses' stand was up, Israelites were victorious. But when his hand moved down, then they would be losing. And Joshua brought this idea that they should have some stones to hold the hand up until the end of the battle. Now, in Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, we also read that so Moses rose up with his minister. In other verses, it says his assistant, Joshua. And Moses went up into the mountain of God. And here, this indicates that Joshua was a young man, and he was an apprentice to Moses, and someone who had access to the presence of the Lord. Because we read earlier that Moses, no prophet has come like him, because he saw God face to face. And here we are seeing that Joshua was very close to him. So Joshua must have also seen the Lord. In chapter 32, verse 17, it is Joshua, the soldier, who report that there is a noise of war in the camp. Remember when they had gone to receive the tablet, and they came, and the people, Aaron and the people, had built a god and they were worshipping. It is the same Joshua who reported that there's a war. He thought the noise was a war. So he is the one who reported. Because he said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But then his minister, who is Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So this shows that he was with him, very close to him. Even when he went for the tablet, he was with him. You see, so this man was being trained to take over. So Joshua was a very important and rising figure among the Israelites at the time when Moses went for the law. And the same Moses, the same Joshua, you know, when Israel had to send spies to go and spy Canaan to see the scope of the town and how they can attack them, it was only him and Caleb that brought good reports. 12 people went, only 2 people came with good reports and encouraged the people that even though the people were strong and everything, they would be able to fight them. Other people brought bad reports, and that was where God had to wipe out an entire generation because of this thing. And Joshua was involved. So it tells me that this Joshua is a man that God really prepared to lead his people to the battle. And because of their faith in God, for Joshua and Caleb, as well as a few descendants, they were promised that they will see the promised land because of this report that they brought from Canaan. And then they will live long to see, to dwell there and see everything. So in this book, that promise will be realized because of what the report that they brought. So Joshua becomes a clear successor of Moses. After all these things, it's clear that he was the only one who could succeed Moses. And then in Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 to 23, it's a long, but just let me just say, Joshua now was commissioned to become Moses' eventual replacement. Maybe just let's read Numbers 27. From verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him. Even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he had his sons, he laid his sons upon him and gave him the charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So you see, this Joshua is a man, as I've said, that God really prepared. So now the end of Moses has finally come. Joshua has been have been chosen to replace him. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 that we just read, remember he said that now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So you see, God had provided his people with a capable successor in the person of Joshua, who will lead them to the promised land. Now, so as the book of Joshua is open, we see the very close connection between the book and then Deuteronomy, how God had prepared them, and now it has come to pass. So from verse 1, we see that Joshua, the verse 1 ties with the Deuteronomy, because he said, and Moses, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over Jordan, thou and the people of Israel, and all that. So Moses here is described as a servant of the Lord, which also stresses the depth of his fellowship with the Lord, as well as his unique nature and the role that he played as a covenant mediator. The same way the first covenant was by Moses, now we also have our covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Joshua 2 is here also described as Moses. Like I said, in other versions, it is Moses' assistant, which also identifies him as the same man who climbed Mount Sinai with Moses. So the fact that Moses is a servant of God and then Joshua is also his assistant lies in the background of the New Testament, which also calls each of Canaanite, I mean Christians, as servants of Christ. Especially if you go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it is there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, is there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, is there. But there, here when we come to John 15, verse 15, Jesus also gives us a new concept of being a servant of the Lord. Here he said that, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. So you see here, we are servants. And then Christ also said that we are more than servants, because a servant does not see what his master does. But in our case, in our case, he has disclosed everything unto us. So what was exceptional under the Old Testament has become a norm for us in the New Testament. Now we have become both. Now, while we were born servants, now we have become friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is why Christ says every member of the New Testament covenant is greater than any member of the Old Testament. And that is why we always say Christ is the better covenant. Now, when we go to verse 2 of Joshua, let's see verse 2 to 5. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all thy people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then he goes on, be strong and of a good courage. So we see here that this conquest is the same theme. That it is, if you go to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, you will see the same thing there at the end of the chapter. And then here in verse 5, God renews his promises to the people again. This is the same promise that God had given. Now he has renewed the promises. And if you go further, as we are going to, once we are finishing Joshua, we'll get to chapter 23, and you see that it is also the same thing. Now, as we are going to see in the coming weeks that we have the opportunity, the land that was promised was also tied to the covenant of their inheritance. So the book opens here, and Israel after comes at the place of Moab. God is still preparing them for the place, and it is the same with us. Now we are saved from sin's slavery. We are awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to enter into the land of promise, their land of promise, and our land of promise, which is heaven. And God is using our Lord and Savior as also our leader. As he told Joshua, no man can be able to stand before him. No one will be able to stop him from going to where he is. And it is the same with us. If we are, that's why we say, if you are in Christ, you have everything. He is our leader. He is leading us to also the promised land. So here, if you look at it, then it will help you to understand the main theme of the book, possession of the land, and how God will take you there. The same way, possession of the land of heaven, and how God will lead us to that place. Remember, he has told him that no one will be able to stand against him. And as I said, Israel would never be able to occupy the land at their own strength. And in the same way, we can never on our own go to heaven without the power of the Holy Spirit, who leads us. The same way as Joshua trusted in God and the guidance of God and his direction, and in the same way we also trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will take us to heaven. The book of Joshua tells us that in verses 5 to 8, as we get there, the covenant promises was now summarized in verses 2 and 5. But it gives forth a warning that it should be courageous and be strong. Obey, and he said that the book of the law will never depart from you. In the same way, the word, that's why I say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is also our guide. Jesus Christ, we don't see him physically. He is the word. So the word is our guide. How can we get to heaven after being saved? Is it going to be the same way as Moses and Joshua? No, in our time, it's with Christ, and Christ is the word. And what does the word say? Believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Trust in him, and he will take you there. The same way he said, don't let the book of the law depart from you. So we see the same things that was happening in those days. In verses 5 and 6, he said, be strong and courageous, for you shall call these people to inherit the land that I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, that my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good access wherever you go. If you don't turn, he's still stretching on the way. In our time, it's only the way. We don't have any leader like Moses to lead us. Then when we come to verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Again, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you, whosoever thou goest. So you see, this is why Joshua is not to depart at one iota from the law. That is the condition. The condition that he will be who he is. All the promises of God will be fulfilled. And he said, no one can stand before him. All these things will be possible if he also becomes strong and courageous and dwells on the way, the law that Moses had given them. In our time, it's also the same. We are in the same place as Israel was. Our situation is the same as Israel was at the camp when they were being prepared to go. Ours is also the same thing. We are not in the place of Moab, but we are in a similar place, also waiting to go into the place that the Lord has given us. Now, in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, verses 18 to 20, let's just turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 28. And from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is the point I'm trying to make. We also, Christ says, all power has been given to him. He has also empowered us. He has saved us. What did he save us with? We are given the light to also go out and make disciples of other people. That is what we are saved for, to prepare a people for heaven. In the Old Testament, they were driving the people to Canaan. We are also gathering people, awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, while they were given that light, we have been given the greater light of making more disciples. And remember the promise is made, I am with you always. I am with you always. And in many ways, the Christian life is also saying, as we are also preparing to enter the land, he is with us always. He has promised that he will be with us, he will guide us, he will direct us until the final day when we also go into heaven. But do we believe all this, and that we will also inherit everything that God has promised us? All the promises in the New Testament, do we also believe that we will have them? Do we believe that God will keep his word and that we will receive everything he has promised? Or, like the 10th spies, because if, like I said in the morning, if you look at happenings in the world now, you will be discouraged. But do you believe that it's God who has promised, and it is God who will never fail? So if he says he will be with you, he will be with you, as we read in Psalm 34, in every situation. Whatever you go through in this world, he will be with you until the final time comes. In distress, in sickness, in pain, whatever it is, you will have to pass through all these things. As I said in the morning, God directly made them pass through where they are going and meet the Red Sea, all kind of problems. Jericho, a fortified city, they didn't have to fight with arms. They had to go around it just a few times, and the walls were down. It shows you that we also have obstacles in our way to heaven. But in all the obstacles, in all the circumstances, in all our ways, if we make his word, because he has said here that we should also go and make disciples, if we make his word our delight, as Psalm 34 says, he will take care of ours. I've always said this, that many people used to say, "Nyamiyajuma nage, now they are apostles." And it's very true here. We see that in the same way as Joshua led them, our Christ is also leading us. In all the situations that they went through, God saw them through. In the end, they came to Canaan. In the same way, whatever we may be going through, let's remember that he has said that he will always be with us. Always. Not on a few times. He will always be with us. He will guide us. He will direct us and take us to our promised land. Now, let's look at one thing that Christ said, which is very encouraging. In the same way as God also will conquer all the enemies on their way, in our case, Christ has already conquered our greatest enemy. What's our greatest enemy? It is death and the grave. Remember in the morning I said that a true committed Christian does not fear death. They were to face the enemies, and through the power of God, they will defeat the enemies. Our enemy has already been defeated by our Lord and Savior. So that is why he said, now be strong and courageous. How can you be strong on your own? Because of who has called you. Because of who is leading you, which is our Lord and Savior. So therefore, be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this is very encouraging, friends, as we go through all these verses. The next time we have the opportunity, we'll see, like I said, Joshua is a book about possession. So we are going to go through all this. Today we have seen how the Lord has promised to be with us in all our situations, as he was with the people in the Old Testament, and he continues to be with us. Let this encourage us and be strong and be courageous in everything we do, knowing that the Lord will be with us. Let's